Thank you so much, Mary Ann. We're going to pray for you before you start, and we're going to pray for ourselves as well. Our great God and loving Father, we look to you as the source of true life, life in abundance, eternal life, which you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that you have great, great love for people who are trapped in addiction, and that you want to see them free. We thank you so much for the powerful works that you have done in Mary Ann's life. We thank you for her courage to come and speak to us today. And we pray now, Lord, that you will bless her to speak strong and clear. Thank you for all the help that you've given her in her preparation of what to say. And we ask, Lord, that you bless us now to be good listeners. If we're challenged by anything, Lord, bless us to take it home and mull over it. Maybe to ask Mary Ann questions and to discuss things with each other and to see how we can work out into our lives how to be better, faithful witnesses to you, even to folks who are trapped in addiction. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Mary Ann.
Okay. Hi, most of you know me. My name is Mary Ann. I struggled with alcohol addiction from about the age of 23 until the 13th of August 2018 when I nearly died. I became very sick, physically, mentally and spiritually as a result of the addiction. Larry has asked me to speak to you today on how the church's response to my addiction was helpful and unhelpful. When I say church, I'm referring to the church in general rather than Bedford Community Church, but hope that what I have to say will be helpful to you all. I will be referring to addiction in general, not just drug or alcohol addiction. Addiction is defined as the repeated involvement with a substance or activity, despite the substantial harm it now causes, because that involvement was and may continue to be pleasurable or valuable. As such, a lot of things that people do daily may fit into this criteria, but the key to this is the activity is repeated and continues despite the substantial harm it now causes. Examples of this include drugs and alcohol, smoking, eating, gambling, and what we often refer to as screen time, including phones, games, and social media. This harm often affects not just the person with the addiction, but also the family and friends of the individual. I am not going into any of the medical issues related with addiction, other than to say that the addiction is often, but not always, seen in conjunction with mental illness and also may result in physical illness, even if not substance related. I became a Christian before I started drinking, and I found that alcohol not only affected me emotionally and physically, but it also acted as a block in my communication with God. I still attended church while drinking, but not on a regular basis. I was essentially putting on an act, though, as I didn't have the capacity to connect to God when in active addiction. Looking back, I see a lot of things that people in churches I attended did that were helpful and unhelpful in assisting me to quit drinking. In the earlier stages, I managed to be quite functional in my addiction and showed no outward signs of it. And therefore, people did not have a reason to question my behaviour. As it progressed, my behaviour and physical appearance both changed to a degree that people started questioning what was wrong. At this point, I was in denial and therefore I lied about my behaviours and said I was fine, and I actually believed this. Later, when I knew I had a problem, I actively lied as I was not willing to do anything about the problem, and finally I admitted to both myself and to others that I had a problem. But this was only the first step in quitting drinking. I had many attempts in rehab and in detox centres before I finally quit, and in quitting I actually handed my life back to where it belonged, and that was with God. I asked the Lord to take away my addiction, and I have not had one single drink of alcohol since the 13th of August 2018. People in addiction are just the same as anyone else with a problem. Each of them will respond differently differently to you if you approach them or if you challenge them on their addiction. And often if an addict is actually functional, you'll see no reason to actually interfere, but you may see behaviours that are repeated and on a regular basis, such as gambling or missing meetings because people are too engrossed in Facebook or things like that. So intervention may actually be required. As a Christian, the Lord tells us to love your neighbour as yourself. If you're doing something that would lead you into sin, would you like your friends and neighbours to ask you about the behaviour in a kind and loving way? Or would you rather that they ignore it, as it may be awkward or embarrassing, and therefore allow you to stumble along in a way that separates you from your Heavenly Father? I found that in early addiction days, I was going to church where drinking was freely accepted, and that I had a job where drinking at social functions was actively encouraged. This was not to say drinking to excess was accepted. When I mentioned at church that I'd been drinking at work functions, they assumed, took it at face value, that it was within acceptable levels and no one thought to actually ask me about my life in general. In a way, I suppose looking back, a lot of people didn't know me well enough to even ask questions. However, when I finally admitted I had a problem, one of the priests in a church I went to actually made a point of asking me after church each week if I'd been drinking before church and asked me in front of others. What that actually led to was me feeling ashamed, and a lot of that shame came from within, but I stopped going to church. I want to encourage you, though, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to pay attention to what is happening in your congregation, to get to know people well, and to speak to strangers as they come into your congregation. Don't be scared to ask each other how you are and how things are going, especially in these challenging times, as it is sometimes easy to miss the early stages of addiction in those closest to us. If you're struggling, I'd also encourage you to speak to someone about it. There are a lot of people in this church that truly love you and that would be willing to listen to you, and if they can, to help you. As a person who may be approached in this situation, truly listen. When we're all busy, it's easier to ask a question and then let our minds race onto the next thing without taking the time to truly listen to the person's response or assuming that you know what the person is going to say. When listening, if you become aware that a person is battling addiction, ensure that you are genuinely speaking to them as an individual, as you would any other person with a problem. The person is not the addiction. The addiction is a problem they have. It does not define the person, even if it affects their behaviour. Always aim to be non-judgmental in your dealings with other people. Sometimes the person just needs someone to talk to, and other times they may need actual help. Sorry, just excuse me for a second. If you are judgmental or condescending, you may alienate the person totally or make them close up about their difficulties and not speak to anyone else. You may have concerns that either the person you are talking to or someone else they mention may be in danger or at risk. If so, you may need to discuss this with a third party, whether with or without the individual's permission, but if possible, get the person's permission. If so, be discreet. Remember that this person may have entrusted you with information they have not given to anyone else. Discuss only relevant information and avoid gossip. In telling someone else, you may be breaching the individual's trust, and once broken, they may not trust anyone else with the information. I believe that these are practices that we should apply to all interactions, not just those with people in addiction. When you're not exposed to people in addiction, it may be easy to miss some of the signs, such as secretiveness, lying, stealing, financial unpredictability, so sometimes large sums of cash, sometimes no cash, change in social groups and friends, odd telephone conversations, change in our usual pattern of behaviour, such as frequency and going to church, inability to meet commitments, such as attending planned meetings, irritability, inability to connect in a conversation, fidgety, sudden weight loss or gain, change in appearance, dress or cleanliness, borrowing money or mentioning inability to afford basic necessities. All of the above can also relate to people not in addiction, and there are also a lot more signs I have not mentioned. It is important that you do not place a moral judgment on your questions or concerns, but come from a loving place as God would have us do. Often we convey a lot more by our body language and our tone of voice than we do by the words we actually say. I, both as a member of the congregation and an outsider, received assistance from local churches at times during my addiction. At the time, I probably would have said that most valuable assistance I received was the receipt of food vouchers, lifts, and meals provided by the congregation. In hindsight, though, I've had to change my opinion on this. Often I traded the food vouchers I was given for lifts from a neighbour to pick up alcohol, or even for alcohol they picked up for me. I also did not have to buy or prepare food if friends or people from the church gave me cooked meals, freeing up both money and time for drinking. Some of the most valuable things I actually received from people from church were lifts to medical appointments, as this meant I attended my doctor's and or counsellor appointments, and they were able to monitor my addiction and provide me with professional advice. Lifts to church, not only was I in the presence of the Lord, but I was also away from home where I was drinking. Meals from people with people from church, either in their homes, a park or a cafe. A Bible study, prayer time, where a few of the women came to my home and to study and pray with me. All of these times allowed the people from church to engage with me, to have general discussion with me and to pray with me. It was not about what I looked like or how clean my house was or wasn't. It was about presenting the love of God and God's word to me in a way that I felt I could accept it without taking away my need to take responsibility for myself. This may not be practical with all people in addiction. I really want to stress at the moment the importance of making sure you are safe in your engagement with anyone you are assisting, whether they're in addiction or not. The desperation of some people in addiction and the chemical changes in their brain caused by addiction can make addicts more unpredictable than the general population, so this is extremely important. If you encounter a person who needs assistance, it is up to you whether you assist them or not. However, when a person is in addiction, and if you're meeting them for the first time, that can be very hard to know. It may actually appear obvious that they're intoxicated or taking drugs. In this case, it may actually be not beneficial for you to give them money. And what I suggest in this situation is you're not being judgmental if you say in your mind, don't say this to the person, but if you say in your mind, I think this person's under the influence of some drugs or alcohol, I'll buy them a meal or clothing instead. If you're helping from the church office, you have a lot more opportunity to actually assess the situation and to ask more questions so you can determine a bit better how you're going to help. I usually say people who want help are desperate, sometimes for money, to actually feed their addiction. So instead, offering them food and clothing or paying part of a power bill by bill pay for them so that they can keep their power on is a better way of assisting them than to actually give them money. A person may need some other form of assistance, though, and if they explain this to you, you may say, oh, look, I really feel I want to assist this person. And it's up to you what type or if any assistance you give them. But what I want to stress to you is to consider whether you're really helping them if you're giving them money or if you're giving them a lot of assistance or whether you're actually helping them to stay comfortable in their addiction. Another aspect of helping people is helping them to access services that will allow them to overcome their addiction. We know that God is ultimately the answer. However, in the depths of addiction, a person may not be able to even comprehend God, let alone understand his word, and they may not at this time be open to you sharing with them. That doesn't mean we should hide our faith, but just that we need to acknowledge that the way that what we say may either just not be heard or forgotten within minutes or hours of it being said due to the chemical imbalance and differing priorities of the person we are speaking to. This is where we having a little bookmark or a small Bible verse on a card you can give them may be helpful. The person may bin it, lose it, they might tuck it in a bag or a pocket and find it when they really need it. You may never know what happens to that, but you may be instrumental in that little bookmark or that little card in bringing them to the Lord. If the person you're talking to is receptive to addressing their addiction, then having on hand resources like a card that I've put on the chairs with phone numbers may actually be helpful. So it's got some helpline numbers for people in addiction. It also has phone numbers for people who may just need help or for families of people in addiction. If it's appropriate, so someone in the church or a friend maybe, offer them lifts so that they can attend their appointments and follow up with them. If they're a friend or a person in church, don't just give them the information and leave it hanging. Follow up with them, but most importantly, pray with them and pray for them. Every person suffering addiction is different, as I said, and when trying to defeat this addiction, they go through a lot of stages of grief. So the stages we go through of grief from losing someone, a person has had an addiction for a long time, it's a friend to them, they may go through exactly those same stages. Many people believe giving up addiction is as simple as stopping the behaviour. However, in many cases, there's a chemical imbalance due to the addiction, and it can be quite dangerous to stop some addictions such as drugs and alcohol, and people may actually need professional help with that. The other thing is, when someone stops addiction, so once they've detoxed, they may be left with a lot of time that they would have had from drinking. Try and help them fill that time with helping them get a job or providing them chores that they can do around the church or just doing something to help them fill that vacuum, because that can be a time for them when that they may relapse. Also, another thing is, if someone relapses, please don't say, "Oh, look, you'll do better next time," or "It's okay, we like you the way you are," or "At least you tried." Those things may seem like you're encouraging them, however, they can be very detrimental and stop the person from trying again. Say something like, "Have you got in contact with your sponsor? Have you got in contact with your counsellor?" Say things like this to them. Encourage them to reconnect with the support groups that they've got. Encourage them to actively continue, even if they've relapsed, to continue to try and stop that behaviour. I've left some handouts there with phone numbers, as I've mentioned, and also some bookmarks on the chairs. They're not quite what I wanted to give you, but I'm going to do some more up if anyone wants them. At this point, I've only spoken about the addict. However, the other aspect of this equation is the family and addiction. If a family or friend of an addict comes to you and asks for help for that addict, remember that in helping that family or friend, you're also helping the addict in much the same way. So if you're giving them money, again, that money is making that addict more comfortable in their addiction. So think again, when you're giving a friend or family member help, what help are you really giving them? If the family member is a spouse and they're looking at taking the children, or they're looking at leaving the environment where that addiction is and finding a new place to live, remember that, again, the addict is part of that role and that you are not to place yourself in any danger in assisting them. Like you would the addict, make some phone calls with them, connect with some people that can help them. There are people that can go and help them to remove their belongings from the home. There are people that can help them find somewhere to live. There are people that can help them with counselling, just like they can with the addict. So you're not qualified to actually go in and help a person remove belongings, and in doing so, you put not only yourself but that other person in danger as well. This is the time where the police or where social services or where a drug and alcohol service need to become involved in assisting that family member from separating from that environment. There's a lot more I could say on this. However, I think that it's probably more important that you have those phone numbers, maybe some bookmarks or something to give the people. And if you've got any questions, please ask me, because I've sort of skipped out on half of what I was going to say because I sort of got distracted. So if anyone has any questions, I will be around for a little while after church, probably for a cup of tea. And you're quite welcome to get my phone number from the church office. I'll leave my phone number with Larry in the church office. So either approach me, approach someone else in the church, but just remember you are all loved. If anyone here has any problems or thinks they may have a problem, please speak up, because there's always someone here who would be willing to help you.